You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Surely, Katie, you winced at the number of jokes that Tom Brady had to endure at the expense of his marriage and the reports that his wife cheated on him with a jiu-jitsu instructor.
Yeah, I probably it also felt like, I mean, they have to. If you're getting roasted, it's very public. My favorite was when Kevin said, when you have the chance to go 8-9 and lose your whole family. Of course you have to, at the expense of your whole family, of course you have to do it. It's funny. It had to come up. Otherwise, what are they going to make fun of you for being great? Like, that was my fear going into this, is that everybody was going to be afraid to actually say anything actually critically funny about Tom Brady. Not enough jokes made at the expense of his fake hair, I think, but there were a couple. Yeah. But it's like, you paid for it. Let's talk about it. 'Cause it's a lot.
And it's not well done. That's a shocking thing.
I never notice. I just never notice this kind of stuff. So I'll take your word for it. Men, you guys are so good at like calling each other out on your hair. I don't know what it is, but you love to do it.
Well, because we can't see each other's dicks.
Ah, okay, right, sick.
Good joke.
That's another thing. Another thing that came up way too much last night. Do you not agree that there was way too much like, yeah, I sucked his dick and like, yeah, oh, dicks. And we looked at each other's and he's gay for him and they're gay. And you're just like, okay, football players, we get it. It's the same joke and you've told it now 50 different times. A little nuance would not kill you.
That is correct, but we're talking about Gronk. There were so many jokes made about him just being an idiot, like just an unrelenting number of jokes that Gronk is a dope and a fool.
I think the most cathartic was when Bill Belichick was like, you know, I'm known for telling people to do their jobs, but Gronk, I've been watching you on the pregame, and I have to tell you, please stop doing your job. It was perfect. I loved that.
Who did you feel bad for? I felt bad for Ben Affleck. He walked off the stage.
Okay, can I ask, how come in sports TV, we never get good Affleck? Anytime he does anything in sports TV, we get, is he on drugs? Affleck. Allegedly.
Hold on a second.
There's a question mark.
Time to throw away all journalistic credibility and get reckless. Here is something we like to call reckless speculation.
You're good.
I don't know for sure. And just like I'm bad at telling if somebody has fake hair, I'm bad at telling if somebody's on drugs. But he did give the energy of like when you kind of get stuck talking to a guy late at a wedding and you don't realize until, you know, you get too into the conversation that like, oh, this guy's on coke and I have to stay here and finish this conversation that I now, if I had all the information, I never would have put myself in this position. So again, I don't know about what's up with Ben Affleck. But I do know between that and remember when he was on Bill Simmons' show, wasn't he his first guest on his show? And we were all like, what is this? Ben Affleck, come on, babe, step up.
I have a theory that he just doesn't want to be there.
Okay. Then stop coming. How about that? What if you stopped coming to it then? You're at the Tom Brady roast. You're like the representative of a fan.
He's dead inside.
Like, why was he coming at some random ghost? I don't even know. Was that Twitter person real? I doubt it. I doubt he was talking to an actual real Twitter person who tweeted at Tom Brady. So I don't know. It wasn't for me. I felt bad for Kim Kardashian for a second. Oof. Question mark. Just because to be booed just for being there is brutal. That's a tough to then have to deliver the jokes that somebody very funny wrote for you is an uphill battle. And she did it. And she, was she great? I don't know. but it, but she
it
did
it. It sounds like you know. It sounds like.
But she did it. Here's the thing, Dan. She did it. And then later, when a joke was made, a joke by Tom Brady, mentioning the thing that I think we all fear for Kim Kardashian, saying that she was afraid to be here tonight, not because of the jokes, but because that means she left her kids at home alone with their dad. She had a good sense of humor about it. She laughed. So, like, I get it. People don't want to see her. But I just, like, come on. It's almost like we have to, it's hack to hate Kim Kardashian loudly at this point, isn't it? It's, you can hate her. You can have disdain for her. You can have serious criticisms of her. But to just be like, boo, is like, all right, just let her say her thing.
Just to put a bow on the whole Stugatz thing, these are the results of the four games of the Panthers and Bruins played. Bruins 3, Panthers 2. That's the first game. Second game was Bruins 3, Panthers 1. The third game was Bruins 4, Panthers 3. The fourth game was Bruins 3, Panthers 2.
How many in overtime?
That's not how you look at the standings.
What?
I don't
does
think
that
you
don't, matter
you don't know
at
how,
all?
You don't know how to read the standings, Stugatz? Like,
a win in overtime is different than a win in regular time. A win in overtime means the other team still gets a point. It's like a half a win.
I know.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
You get the win,
that means
though.
Nothing.
You get the
there
win.
There is overtime the in the playoffs.
Why does he keep
it's not like we don't get
does
to do that.
Does he just not want
to
work today?
He said he's
I think he doesn't want to be here.
Katie, he's like Ben Affleck. Yeah, Ben Affleck, incidentally, to Katie's point, though, he beelined off the stage, didn't say goodbye to anybody, didn't hug Tom, didn't say thank you, just went straight to the airport as if he was late for a flight, like didn't talk to anybody, just got off the stage, wasn't any good at any of the jokes, and then fled the premises. Katie, always lovely seeing you. Thank you for making the time for us.
Oh, I have 9,000 other things to say. I'll go say them to Dan.
No,
bye, guys.
No, give me all of them. Yes. I want all of them.
Shut up. I was joking. You have a live TV show.
Guess what?
Go away.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing now.
That's what we're doing right now.
We're calling you on
your bluff. We're supposed to break, but we're giving you the space. We're giving you the space to give us all of the other, all of the stuff that you're going to like. As soon as we hang up with you, as soon as we get out of here, you're going to be like, oh, I should have said this.
I mean, I will scroll through these notes. The funniest thing about Bert and Tom's set was seeing that everybody else used it as a chance to go to the bathroom. The way they set up that shot so that you could see, you saw Andrew Schultz like in the wings trying to get back to his seat, and he couldn't because then people would know that he got up to pee during Bert and Tom.
Tough spot for them.
Good. I did the dishes. Yeah, I didn't. Were they funny? I didn't watch them.
They weren't funny, but it's really a tough spot. You're reading the project, the teleprompter, and you're going back and forth. Tough spot for them.
Well, how's that a tough spot? Do it alone, then. You're both stand-up comedians.
I agree.
Do it alone.
That was my
one
criticism.
You do not have to do it as the two of you. I don't know when that became. I don't feel that they make each other better, per se. You have a podcast together that's very successful. Congratulations. Oh, you make a booze together also. Successful. Congratulations. But, like, go do your separate stuff. Because they're very different comedians, and so making them do a thing together didn't make a lot of sense to me. But again, I didn't watch it, so maybe they were great. Sam J, why aren't you guys talking more about Sam J?
She was great, so funny.
Sam J to Drew Bledsoe, I was hiding behind my pillow when she was explaining to him what a loser he is. When she said that he's been cucked by Brady his entire life, and then he said to Brady, "Just f*** his wife and get it over with." That's wild.
Yes.
That's wild.
Shout out Flatbush Misdemeanors.
We are going to play that for Drew Bledsoe later. See how that
Thank
one...
Thank you. My God. Oh, tell him he was such a good sport. But also ask him if he needed a sip of water when he came out. Because it was all I noticed. And maybe it's because I have a mom who smokes weed. And I'm not alleging that that's what he was doing at all.
Hold on a second.
Hold on a second. I'm truly not.
And get reckless. Here is something we like to call reckless speculation.
You're good.
I'm truly not saying because I don't think he smokes weed, but I could just tell. He just had dry mouth. You know, when you're having a conversation with somebody and they're like,
that "Oh, but he was drinking a ton of wine. He had to be scared. How can you not be
terrified?
Scared in that?
I couldn't believe he came. He started also the cold open. I would never have said yes to that. Acting brutal, but like
I mean, Belichick's acting was
all of them.
So
I meant all of them. That whole cold open, I was like that. made me so nervous for the rest of the roast. When I saw the cold open, I was like, it's going to be a long night, which, to be clear, it was a long night. This was fun, but it was too long. There was too much, and I needed to be a lot shorter because it ended up taking my entire night. And I'm not being paid to be here as far as I'm aware.
Too much clapping, right, Katie?
It was a lot. Yeah, but they really did. The audience was either being piped in or very into it and very loud. They reacted really well. Other Sam J joke, which may have been the joke of the night, was when she told Bledsoe that the only ring he has is the one Tom won for him. So just like her strap on, just because you wear it, does it make it real?
It's amazing.
And then, by the way, Kevin Hart got up and started saying what he thought Sam J's boyfriend might look like. And I was like, Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin.
I don't know what was the best joke of the night, if you guys had to select one. But Schultz saying to Dana White of the Gisele Bündchen divorce that he recognizes, you know, what it's like to steal half the purse of a Brazilian.
Chef's kiss. Excellent. Perfect.
That's on a cross-country flight, by the way. He did MSG Saturday night and flew Sunday all the way over to L.A. to do that.
Yeah, he's a
Great face for comedy.
I mean, that haircut's got to go. I know he does it so people will mention it, but I hate it. It's brutal. It's just like, we don't need it. Just be funny.
But
you know?
he does look like he's out of the 1930s, a black and white railroad, you know, the guy who strapped someone to a railroad.
It's like a mixture of like Peaky Blinders and Proud Boys.
Yeah, in all the worst ways, in all the wrong and bad ways. I will say, though, let's give credit where it's due. He's the only one who made a Jeff Ross joke. He said that he reminds him of the guy from the Operation game, because when kids touch him, he lights up.
What else? What else do you have in your notes that we need
to get to?
Because I want you to empty the clip.
How did you guys feel about Peyton Manning?
I didn't see Peyton Manning. When was Peyton Manning? I must have been away from the television.
The fourth time they brought somebody else off backstage.
He was like the special guest.
I miss Peyton. Was that toward the end?
It was right before Tom. He introduced Tom. So he was right before Tom. I didn't need it. I didn't.
Well, Katie, breaking news, Eli Manning tweeted just now, I thought about attending the roast of Tom Brady last night, but I did not want to roast him for a third time.
Ooh, boom!
I mean,
joke
really?
Of the night.
Ooh, boom.
Boom roasted.
Yes, that's right, Katie.
By the way, Jess, breaking news. Hi, good to see you.
Hey, long time no see.
I know. I love you. Yeah, hope too. You're doing well.
I thought there were a lot of...
Let them do pleasantries more. That's good TV.
I thought that there were
Is
a lot of...
Is that who my thumbs up's coming from? Now I like it.
I thought there were a lot of people who didn't know on the dais who Ron Burgundy was and how confusing that must be to not know who that character is and then see that guy doing that. Like,
if you had told me at the beginning of the night that I wouldn't have minded the Ron Burgundy part, I would have been surprised, because I'd be like, okay, Ron Burgundy in a roast, we get it, we've done this. But he was actually pretty funny. When he made the whole crowd chant that Eli Manning made Tom Brady his bitch, it was funny. Because when he made it sound like he was going to make everybody do it again, it was funny. He was pretty funny. It was a good, I thought it was a good bit.
We have less than 50 seconds left. 50 seconds. So you've got to give us the best of what you've got here. You've got a lot of pressure.
God. Oh, my God.
It's okay, but now you have 30 seconds. Wow. You are
okay. When Sam J said, if you put yourself out of your misery tonight, we'd all understand, but you just want you to know you'd still be the second best Patriot to ever do that.
Yeah.
Very funny. Very funny.
A lot of Aaron Hernandez jokes.
Very funny. Yeah.
10 seconds.
Belichick was funny. Oh, come on. There's two more.
5 seconds.
Dana White bombed. Dana White bombed. Jokes all bad. Nobody laughed. Dana White bombed. Okay, bye. I'll text you the rest.
Howdy, listeners. It's Mike, and you know, a lot has changed over the years. Just look at sports. There's instant replay, a three-point line. There were shifts and then not shifts. But one thing that hasn't changed over the course of all those things I just mentioned, the great taste of Miller Lite. That's right. It's so good. and it's also less filling. So what's the best thing about Miller Lite, the original light beer? Well, Miller Lite sparked this debate way back in 1975. We still haven't settled it. Be like me. I don't pick one. I like it because it's both. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Great taste. Only 96 calories. It's a beer that strips away everything that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Be like me. Say both. Miller Lite. Great taste. And is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Folks, listen up. I want to talk to you about PXG and their new Black Ops driver. You no longer have to sacrifice distance for accuracy, for forgiveness. Folks, those days are done. You get both of those things with this new driver because I went to one of their PXG locations and I tested it out myself. And my boy Mike over there, if you're in Fort Lauderdale, you got to go to that location. He took care of me there. It was quick. It was efficient. By the time I got into my car, I had my email where my clubs were going to be sent. I have them now. It is a beautiful thing. What an experience. The PXG Black Ops driver is a breakthrough in driver technology. It's complete, total victory in golf club engineering, unlike anything you've ever seen before. It's adjustable to deliver a combined MOI of 10,000. I'm telling you, that is ridiculously high. You got to check it out. The PXG Black Ops driver. You'll be as impressed as I was. Learn more and get free shipping on all the equipment at pxg.com/Dan. Use code Dan at checkout. That's pxg.com/Dan. Code Dan for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/Dan. Code Dan.
Don Levitard.
I got somebody here making fun of me. How old do you have to be to reference Shecky Green? Man, I went comedically there with the funny name of a comedian. Mm-hmm. That's on you for not knowing who Shecky Green is.
You
got to
know who Shecky Green is.
No, you don't have to know who Shecky Green is.
But your ally.
I don't like my allies.
King of the Borscht Belt.
Stugatz.
I have the soul of a Borscht Belt comedian. I should be in the Catskills in 1945. Opening for Shecky Green. That's who I was destined to be.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We'll get to some of the local stuff in a second, but we miss Katie Nolan, and we do not and have not seen her enough recently. And she's got more thoughts, and she's got nowhere to put them that won't be Dan Soder's ear. So we have them. We have her here.
This whole time, I've been waiting for Soder to walk in through the background, scratching his ass.
And like he's not going to be awake for another 2 hours.
Good sleeper.
Drinking milk straight out the carton.
I envy that sleep. What else do you have for us from last night? Because it sounds like you were delighted, and I will tell you and the audience that I was very pleased that everyone just tried all of that. That franchise, which has been starched and stiff and secretive and more interesting in scandal than it is in front of microphones showing you personality, it was just good to see that franchise be interesting for something other than winning and being respected and being hated for how some of the winning happened.
Yeah, I agree. I thought everybody had such a good sense of humor. I'll also say, because I feel like I've now taken over your show to talk about just a thing I loved. The first time I did your show, I didn't say a word, so I feel like I've earned this.
Yes.
Now I can agreed. Talk to anyone agreed. Else I want on the show, because the first time I just sat there and listened to
took
music.
A minute. Yeah.
Bob Kraft. No, not enough applause in this room for Bob Kraft. He was funny. He was funny and he was charming when he said to Putin, "Give me my effing ring back." That was fantastic.
I thought that he was somebody who was treated with a little bit too much deference, except for when they told him that they'd all be gathered again for his funeral.
Which, again, the delivery of Julian could have used a soft touch, but instead he was like, "Figured I'd see you all at his funeral."
Well, oh, I don't,
he's not a comedian. Yeah,
well, I know.
He's a slot receiver.
I don't think of Edelman having a soft touch with his speech. That's not one of the talents in his toolbox.
Rodney Harrison, did anybody look more like they didn't want to be there by the time we hit the 2 hour mark? He was just like not into it. And I get it, because having to sit there and watch that whole thing, it was so long. If I had to be watched while I was sitting watching it, I'd be exhausted.
You're supposed to get loaded, right? And just make jokes, side jokes with the people on the panel. That's how you do it.
Yeah, but they had too many athletes up there to do that. Oh. Like, I get why they had the athletes up there. I was happy that, like, Nate Solder was up there for when Belichick was going so that he could roast them in a way that was very funny, because we don't really talk about players in those positions. But for like a dais, it was too many athletes. They weren't like, they were, that's like class, it felt like, for them. They had to sit through class.
The only person who looked more upset to be there than Rodney Harrison was Belichick during the portion where Kevin Hart made him take a shot with Bob Kraft, because he looked like he wanted to kill someone.
And I think when I was like, hey, I really love Kevin Hart hosting this, because I thought he was sweet. I thought he was just like, hey, I noticed you guys are really far apart from each other. Why don't we get a little closer, do a shot? And that had already come after the shot between, what was the first one? It was Tom and Gronk. Gronk, who spiked a glass shot
glass? The shards went everywhere.
Where the tables were right there. Yeah. It was like the dumbest thing. Yeah. And then to hear Kevin Hart go, yeah, no, we'll clean it up, Gronk. It's okay. Oh, while we're talking about this, one of the funniest moments was when Kevin Hart said, it's crazy you guys let him come up here by himself. Good job, Gronk. You're doing good, Gronk. He had to like talk to him like a child, because Gronk at one point was supposed to pull out those shot glasses, and there was a different prop that was there for later in the night, and he took that out, and Kevin had to get on the mic from the dais and be like, no, not that, put that down, Gronk. Okay, take out the other. Him being dumb was just a very, very funny recurring beat of the night.
There was that.
Stu, did you watch it? Did you like it? Sorry, Jess, I want
no,
you to talk.
Good.
Never mind.
I did. I said, yeah, go, Jess, go ahead. You answer her question.
I want to hear what you have to say first.
Well, I was going to say, I did watch it. I watched like the first 40 minutes, and I thought Kevin Hart was great because he really set the tone. He let you know right away that there is nothing, except for Bob Kraft and massages, there is nothing here that we're not going to go after. There is no one here we're not going to go after. And for that reason, I thought it was great. And I also saw Tom Brady, and I'm with Dan on this, the fact that that organization allowed themselves to be open to doing this and laugh at themselves, I thought was very refreshing and a good look for every single person involved.
Yeah, I thought that it was fun when Jeff Ross had to explain the forum is how Gronk counts to four, or not counts to five joke, or whatever it was afterwards. Katie, do you feel like they were all really hungry? Like, they were sitting up there for 3 hours. Yeah. They probably had to put on their nice suits like an hour beforehand, do hair and makeup. They probably hadn't eaten in hours. I would have been so hungry. I would have been hangry. Although most of them probably also on Ozempic, so maybe appetite suppressed. But I just got a sense that Rodney Harrison at the end maybe was just a little hangry.
Yeah, especially the athletes. I feel like there's no way they're usually going that many hours without at least a bar or a handful of a trail mix of some kind.
Should
it was
have had bowls
too
of,
long.
Of protein bars, yes.
Yeah, you got to feed them.
What else? We've got to get out of here, Katie. So
No, you don't. There's so much.
You still
there's
have
so
more.
Just 8,000 to go.
You still have.
I'm surprised you guys didn't want to entirely focus on the fact that when Brady was like, if you just gave the, what was it, 20 million or whatever to me, I would just admit that I deflated the balls.
I figured
that would be the whole focus of your show, would be that he admitted it, and then you'd like harp on that for a long time. Is that not that
we did not do that? We didn't mention it. The 20 million spent on the investigation to try and catch them. He was saying, if you just handed that money over to me, I just would have admitted to doing it, and we could have been done with the whole thing. I think in the context of a bunch of joke making, though, I don't think that would have stuck as news. Tom Brady admits to cheating.
We all knew it.
No news.
Haha. Well, okay. How about when Tom Brady, funniest man alive, said he asked Bills fans how they're a mafia when they have no ring to kiss.
Ooh, got him.
Right. It was so starch and just. No. Sadly,
well,
delivered.
But this is the
poorly delivered. He was like a robot.
It was terrible.
Telling jokes. Oh, which reminds me of another Sam J joke that we haven't even talked about. When Sam J said that she was afraid of AI taking jobs, but Bert Kreischer proved that a machine can't write a good script.
Tom Brady's gonna be a robot because he's a robot, and that's like, again, we can critique all of this, and one of the things that Tom Brady fancies himself is someone who mocks the critic because he's the man in the arena, and he
Of course, we're going to watch what he does and critique it, but it's almost something that he can't be good at. The expectation of funny in that circumstance, speaking to people, is such a hard ask for anyone who's not a comedian that, of course, he's going to blow the lines and not deliver stuff the way that a comedian would deliver it.
Okay, but Colts are just Broncos who don't fuck.
You remember when Tom Brady was like, guys, I'm going to be a stand-up comedian. Everybody's like, wait, what? Are you serious? He's like, don't worry about the $375 million. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm going to be a stand-up comedian. We were like, there's no way he's good at that, right?
Yeah, right? No, he's not. I didn't come away from this being like, oh my God, so personable. I was like, oh, he could take a joke and he'll tell a joke. His whole thing was weird. I feel like it was kind of one longer scripted bit of him like bloviating and talking about how great he was. I thought parts of it worked, but overall I just would have rather he told jokes instead of giving a whole big spit. We get it, you are great, but I don't need Tom Brady to tell me that he's great. That's why we're here. Like when he said to, I think he said to Belichick, like when somebody wins the Indy 500, I'm not like, who put the gas in your car? Trying to say that that's all that Belichick had to. I don't know. I know it's a complicated relationship, but I was just like, meh.
Tony, you think when Brady's working to be a stand-up comedian that any stand-up comedian has that as the opening gig as opposed to workshopping your stuff in
he's
a
at
club?
The cellar. He's doing
you're saying
he's
give
doing
him time.
He's trying to work it out. I get
I'm
that.
You. I'm with saying you don't start.
Give me a few sets.
You don't start there. You start with 16 people and some friends and family at 1 a.m. when the kitchen is being cleaned
even
up.
Even that is nerve-wracking.
At the ha-ha
hole. You're still Tom Brady. Here's the thing. If you're Tom Brady going to do stand-up comedy, you're never going to be able to just go to where you're not Tom Brady. You're always going to be Tom Brady. So he's never going to have a smaller stage, which is part of why it's insane to say you're going to do stand-up comedy. Because once you reach a certain level of fame, you can't get honest feedback. And that's how you get to be a good comedian.
It's like T.I. T.I. thought he was going to be a comedian.
That's nuts.
And someone had to tell him, like, yo, you're
not that funny.
Yeah, you're not funny. People.
Who had to tell him, though? Who told him?
Someone who's not with us anymore, I believe.
Katie, good seeing you. Thank you for being on with us. We like seeing you around here, so stop by more often.
Yeah, you keep saying that, but you also keep asking me to leave. It was good to see you, too. I hope you guys have a fantastic show. I love you so much. All bye. Right.
Likewise.
Bye. Bye, Jess.
More pleasantries.
It took too long to get to this, but Billy, speaking of weekend comedy, your Marlins trading a two-time batting champion and paying the entirety of his salary.
They got a guy that's projected to be a fourth outfielder.
There's only three, Dan.
By the way, Dan.
It's not softball.
Hey.
I know you were wondering. WFAT live stream tonight, huh? WFAT is presented by 1-800-Flowers. Save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
He's their only all-star. He's the one hitter that you trust. Again,
they have Sandy, but he's injured.
The one hitter that you trust.
Hitter, yes.
You mean as an all-star.
Yeah. And they'll have a new one this year. Every team gets one. That's the beauty of the all-star game.
But they are one of the worst teams in baseball. It is crazy to say that 7 months ago they had the manager of the year and made the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they got, lucky in one-run games. They had a disproportionate number of victories in very close games last year. So they were a playoff team and they earned it. But
I'd argue they were unlucky in games that they were outscored by 15 runs last season.
Fair enough, but the whole thing
they didn't win any of those.
Fallen apart, and now you're trading the one excellent player that you just got that you had at reasonable value, and I wonder how you feel about that as a team, as a fan of that team.
It didn't feel great. I was at Highlight when I found out the news, so I had to kind of stop paying attention to Highlight. We'll get to Highlight later, Dan. But yeah, I was watching the situation unfold. I gotta be honest with you, I'm not sure Peter Bendix knows what he's doing. That seems to be...
What do you mean?
He's lost a lot of fans here lately, Peter Bendix, the general manager who replaced Kim.
You got to get something for Soler, but...
Well, here's the thing that confuses me about this move in particular is why do you do it May 3rd or May 4th? Like, I don't understand that. They could have done it in the offseason. It almost seems like they decided Let's have them lose, and then we can justify a fire sale.
Well, you see what kind of start you get off to, don't you? And then you
yeah, but wait until the deadline when people are desperate and they'll give you more, because this didn't seem like a great haul. People said this was some people have said this is a great haul. Other people have said like, yeah, you can maybe a fourth outfielder.
They didn't get a top 100 prospect.
No,
the national reports have suggested that they tried to shop Arias in the offseason. There wasn't much of a market for it. They were afraid to wait until the deadline, and so this was why with a trade of such value. They wanted to get it done now, but if you're a fan, it's understandably disappointing.
To see the Marlins be sellers as April ends. Like
sellers in May. Yeah. Sad. I mean, that is.
Here's the thing.
And you're paying for a guy. He's getting four hits for another team.
Nostalgia a little bit?
Look, here's the thing. If you are the general manager of the team, president of baseball operations, whatever the title, right? And you're here, and you're apparently the one that's going to be the person that speaks on behalf of the team. Don't say on May 3rd, it didn't seem like we were going to make the playoffs. Even though, like, everybody knows, you can't pull the plug on May 3rd and trade your best player. And be like, it didn't seem like we're going to go.
How many months ago were they in the playoffs with the manager of the year? Was it 7 months? Six? Five? Like, how many months ago was that?
I don't know. October? November?
They're 15 out. I mean,
it's early. 162.
Yeah, I mean, the
good
disappointing
bounce back win yesterday, I'll say that.
Yeah, they won 12-3. How about that?
After losing 20-4, so still negative run differential. But
they're worse than the A's.
The extremely disappointing
The A's are
part,
good. The A's are good this year.
The A's are good.
They're better. They're not good. They're better.
They were supposed to have this year be sort of a tweener year, right? Like all of...
Oh my gosh. Folks, gather around. Everyone gather around. Listen to these words. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. With same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more, don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And if you're new to DraftKings, you gotta check this out. New customers, listen to me. You bet just $5 to get 150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code Dan. That's code Dan for new customers. And you get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's insane. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Don Lebatard.
For weeks, months even, during the regular season, I wondered aloud what Kevin Stenlund did. And then about 3 weeks ago, it hit me.
Stugatz.
He gives him one of these, and he gives him one of those.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
We've got a fun hockey game tonight. And I, Stugatz, can't believe that I'm looking at ESPN. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. More than 20 people are picking games here for ESPN.
Right.
And I'm going to say 22 of 23 people have picked the Panthers to beat the Bruins. And only Steve Levy picks the Bruins to win
Homer
in seven.
It's the only one that counts, though.
Yeah, who else is picking?
Mark Messier doesn't count.
The Messiah. Yeah.
P.K. Subban doesn't count. Bob Wischusen doesn't count. Hillary Knight doesn't count. Linda Cohen doesn't count.
I'm going to say Bob Wischusen does not count.
Bucci Grass doesn't count. I mean, that's a lot of people who are picking the Panthers tonight. And I am a little bit startled to find myself, after many years covering this franchise, to see this in the playoffs against the Boston Bruins team that last year, at least when I saw it, was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in the regular season.
The Panthers had 110 points this season. The Bruins had 109. Like, they're really good. Having 22 of 23 picking the Panthers, that's crazy. That's insane. They have expectations now. this team has expectations. I guess that's a good thing.
Dan, I'm worried that you may get too invested in this. And what I need to do is that I need to invite you to where Tony and I are. And you need to not care about this until you get to the Stanley Cup final. That's what you got to do. You got to one up what you did last year. Don't ride the highs and the lows, the emotional roller coaster. It's going to be too much for you at this point. You don't need this. Focus your energy on other things.
The Marlins.
Focus your energy on other things. Don't do that right now. Get to the Panthers when you need to get to the Panthers. And right now, you don't need to get to the Panthers.
You're keeping an eye on them.
Exactly.
They're in
right.
the back. They're right there. You can see them in the mirror. You're like, all right, I know you're there. I'll get to you when we get to you. We got other things important now.
You toss one of
later.
Was that icing? And then you just keep it moving. Yeah. That's all you got to do right now.
Now, when do you get to them?
Stanley Cup final.
Playing for a championship.
That's where they were last year.
What if they're down 0-2 to the Bruins? Let's just.
No, that's. No,
then you start paying attention.
With two home losses?
No. What?
With two home losses is what he's got them starting 0-2. I don't think, Billy, that you're being fair, sane, or reasonable. They're the thing going on locally. They're the only thing. There's nothing else playing with stakes locally, unless you count Jessica's foray into the tempest that was F1 this weekend.
How come you didn't go, Dan? I heard you had a pass and you just didn't want to go.
It's right there.
This is the look at me, Louie, in the physical flesh, ladies and gentlemen.
What do you mean? Waste of a pass.
What do you mean it's look at me, Louie?
Why do you have this with you?
It just stayed here all weekend. It was here all weekend.
Like you're right that there. You wouldn't know what to wear again and that like we were going to make fun of you?
I didn't want to deal with the traffic. Although the temperature down here was so much better this year than it was the last time.
It was horrible. I'm not saying it was good.
Hot. I'm just saying better than last year. Still hotter than the surface of the sun, somewhere around the bowels of hell, but better than last year.
Fair. The traffic was a nightmare. And as I said on Mystery Crate last week, I was dreading going to the race all weekend because I knew I would probably spend like 10 hours in traffic, which I did. But shout out to my Uber driver, Matt Kugler, for taking me both ways all weekend.
Wait a second. What? You didn't get out of it. You didn't drive?
Yeah.
No.
The whole point was you were supposed to drive.
We only had one pass, so we had to carpool together. Wow. And you'd think, maybe they're limiting passes so there won't be a billion cars on the road. No, there were.
I'm going to go out and say it. If you didn't drive, you're not allowed to complain about traffic.
What?
You got to sit on your phone. You could have fiddled
with
the
radio. Totally watched a movie. You're not dealing with it.
You're not dealing with traffic. It's only bad when you're the one driving.
What? That's absurd.
He's right about that.
Not absurd.
Put it on the poll, Juju, please. If you didn't drive, are you allowed to complain about traffic? Jessica, what were the highlights from the weekend? You appear to be, from what I can gather around here, you seem to be in the minority position of everyone is less interested here in F1. And this weekend, it didn't quite feel to everyone here the way that it did last year when it was novel and new.
It felt pretty exciting at the track. It was a sellout. There were hundreds of thousands of people there all weekend. It's not for everyone. You don't have to like it. That's okay. But it was a big event for Miami. It was the third year that they've done it. They have a contract, I think, for 7 more years. And every year, I think the event has gotten better. I think my only complaint really is getting to and from Hard Rock, which I've heard also sucks for Dolphins games. Yeah. Probably is a little worse for F1 because there's more parking lots being used for the actual race, so it's harder to get around there. But I thought it was a great event. I had a ton of fun. My week actually started on Thursday. I was doing this like motorsport.com panel with a bunch of Formula One podcasters. So we had on two of my favorite people from my favorite F1 podcast, Missed Apex, came on. Two women that host a podcast called Two Girls, One Formula came on. Alanis King from motorsport.com. I thought you guys would have more of a laugh for Two Girls, One Formula, but I guess not.
No, well, I got uncomfortable Two Girls, One Formula. I was surprised that was a name. They did this to me live on air on a Sunday morning during the fake pregame show. I was shown Two Girls, One Cup without knowing what it was.
I'm not familiar with
that
reference.
We did that to you.
Yeah, is that?
What is that?
Huh? What?
Moving on.
So I had a really great time. I met a lot of like other faces in F1 media. It's always interesting going to a international event like this, and people kind of treat me like I'm an alien because we cover like American sports, we cover basketball and football and all these things, and like the motorsport world, I think, is really like everyone kind of is in that world. Like, they're very dedicated to motorsports. So it's funny. They're like, wow, you cover, like, all the, you know, like, one of my, the British media people is like, you do, like, sports ball. Like, what is that like?
Jessica, I was waiting for you to come with the you cover the American sports. It's very cute how you chase a ball and put it in a basket.
It is funny, though, because there's like, it truly is like such an international sport, and they're all inside, the team villages is inside Hard Rock Stadium, and there's like a huge Miami Dolphins logo in the middle of the field, and I'm like, how many of these people know what this logo
what
is and like
this
what
about?
This league is?
What is this?
It's so funny,
fish.
But I had a really good time, and I think that the event was pretty awesome this year. It ended up being probably the best race of the season so far, which was a bit of a surprise because we had Lando Norris on the show last year ahead of the U.S. Grand Prix, and he said that Miami's actually not his favorite track, and a lot of drivers have said this. It's a little bit of a boring track. It's not very exciting. There's not a lot of passing, but as it turns out, this year, Lando Norris won the Miami
Mr.
Grand Prix.
Mr. Baby won, Dan.
His first Formula One race. What? Like, ever.
It's about
time.
It's crazy how he still has a job and he's never won a race. I tried. I tried to give F1 a chance.
Mr. Baby has never won.
Never won
now.
Yeah, after crapping on Miami.
Go figure.
Yeah.
He didn't crap on it. He just said it wasn't his... He said Lando. He said it wasn't his favorite.
Yeah.
But I think he'll probably change his mind now because this was a monumental moment for him and for his career. Yeah. I mean, he joined F1 in 2019. He's been on the podium 15 times. He's a phenomenal driver. Yeah. But the McLaren car has not been very fast until this weekend. They finally put in an upgrade and had some pace and were able to stave off the Red Bull. And now I'm spoiling my F1 minute, so I really should stop while I'm ahead.
That wasn't it?
I tried this weekend.
No, you didn't. You did not try.
I did. I watched it.
You did not try.
I tried. I tried to watch it. I didn't watch the Netflix show. I feel like that's what's missing is I didn't watch the Netflix show, so I didn't really care. F1, we did this thing on Mystery Crate, Dan, where Tony has a list of things that are not for him.
It's a list that are for other people.
Yeah.
It's like things that I like for other people, but
right.
not for me.
Yeah.
I can go through it if you want.
No, that's okay. I have one thing on the list
Mystery
right now.
Crate.
Riveting.
If you,
a list
if
of things you don't
that,
like.
If you want that list, Mystery Crate is where you need to go to get
things
that
are for other people.
Yeah, F1, I think, is for other people. I tried. 57 laps, not enough laps. We need like 200.
Not enough?
Not enough. Yeah, no. NASCAR is like 250 laps. 57 laps is like you do that at the weekend on the go-kart. We do it here on Mario Kart on Fridays. 57 is not that many.
I think that's like the appeal of F1 for a lot of people. It's like the race is over in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Let's it's a sprint. Yeah.
No. There wasn't enough action. There wasn't enough things going on for me. It was hard to follow. You just see the team logo and then the name, but I don't know any numbers. I don't know who I'm watching, who I'm not. I have it on mute. It's very confusing.
Yeah, probably just doesn't help.
Not for me.
Jessica, how hard is it for them to change the course, like from year to year?
Probably pretty difficult. And they might make adjustments to like the track surface. They might kind of like smooth out certain corners if they're too fast, stuff like that. But
the route?
But, you know, this is a permanent track. This track is probably not going to change very much.
Put it on the poll, please. Do you find that F1 is for other people at Le Batard Show? Let's put up the menu because it is the most expensive sport. I can't even imagine.
Are you too broke, Mr. Le Batard? You cannot afford hors d'oeuvres?
Is that why you didn't
what
go?
What accent is this?
Look at this menu. You cannot charge me $180 for nachos.
My question for whoever took this picture is one time I sat in, this is like a humble brag. I sat in a suite for the Miami Open at the Hard Rock, and one of the marketing people gave me their phones and was like, you order whatever you want from like the catering for the suite. And so I was able to see the prices of how much it costs to order like the giant Caesar salad for the suite. And it was like this. I was like, am I about to order like $175 Caesar salad? But it's for like 10 people.
Yeah, it's like ordering a hammer for the U.S. Army. Like that's they know.
Well, yeah, that too. I don't know if this was like this was like prices for an entire like,
no, it must
suite
be. It's got to be.
How many wings do you get for $190?
I better get a ton of
not
wings.
Not enough.
It has to be.
No, it says add 1 ounce of caviar for $400.
To any item?
To any of those items.
To any item, Billy. What are you not
that's
understanding?
What?
Americans are so cheap.
So Stephen Ross was just
Anna Delvey.
He was offered $10 billion for the Dolphins and F1, and I guess 10 is doing. He's like, nah. I want my family to have that. I do not love my family enough to say no to $10 billion.
What if you already have more than that?
Hello, Tom Brady.